Today's nuclear resistance story is about probably the first nonviolent direct action to stop an American nuclear power project. It was 1973, and the fantasy of 1,000 American peaceful atom reactors was playing out across the land. Scores of small communities found themselves in crosshairs as perfect sites for the perfect energy technology. In the Connecticut River Valley of western Massachusetts, Sam Lovejoy grew up working in a neighbor's orchard. After college, he fell naturally into organic farming as part of a commune in the village of Montague. When local officials began quietly meeting with nuclear utility execs, Sam's commune and a few neighbors grew concerned. They educated themselves and tried to raise the alarm, but got little response. Then a 500-foot-tall weather observation tower was erected, looking like a radio antenna rising high above the Montague Plain. A small network of activists were sure it had something to do with a yet-to-be-announced nuclear power plant. Sam Lovejoy told a friend, "You're going to have to tip it over, or someone's going to get a movement going here in the valley to stop the nukes." Their worry was confirmed in late December when Northeast Nuclear Utilities went public with plans to build 2 new reactors next to the river in Montague. 2 months later, February 22, 1974, George Washington's birthday. Cherry trees. Weather towers. On that crisp, clear winter night, Sam Lovejoy gathered a few tools from the farm. He approached a cable anchor farthest from the tower and started loosening the turnbuckle. Taking precaution to avoid injury, when the high-tension cables snapped free, he slowly turned the crowbar. When, with a sudden loud twang, twang, the cable whipped free, but the tower held fast. He freed a second cable, then a third. He watched the slender tower as it twisted slightly, rocked a bit, then suddenly buckled and fell in pieces to the ground. Lovejoy ran back to the road and flagged down a passing patrol car for a ride to the police station. He handed over a typed statement condemning the nuclear industry, concluding that, quote, "Through positive action and a sense of moral outrage, I seek to test my convictions."
"Did you write this?" asked the desk sergeant.
"Yeah."
"Is this your signature on the last page?"
"Yeah."
"Holy cow, I'm going to have to arrest you."
Overnight, the public sabotage of a nuclear project became the talk of western Massachusetts. While some decried the, quote, "vandalism," for many others it was nonviolent civil disobedience in a long Yankee tradition. That spring, 3 neighboring towns passed resolutions opposing the nuke. A similar resolution failed in Montague, but by a much smaller margin than predicted, while Lovejoy got over 100 votes to represent his precinct in town meetings. And beyond evidence for the old Union adage that direct action gets the goods, Sam's action and his subsequent trial for felony malicious destruction of private property also embodied themes still seen in the movement today. Sam insisted on representing himself, a tactic that often humanizes the defendant for jurors and usually allows for less constrained testimony. He called 2 expert witnesses, Manhattan Project physicist Dr. John Goffman as an expert on radiation and human health, and historian Dr. Howard Zinn on the vital role of civil disobedience in American democracy. Such testimony remains a powerful tool for educating local media and courtroom observers, even when jurors are sometimes, as in Sam Lovejoy's case, kept from hearing it as a matter of law. Sam then introduced evidence that the tower was not in fact private property, but had been taxed as real property. The judge, already visibly moved by the expert testimony he'd considered and Sam's knowledge and tenacity, found cause in the faulty charge to order the jury to find him not guilty. The next day, Northeast Nuclear Utilities put plans for the Montague nuke on hold, first for 1 year, later for 4 more, before finally abandoning it in the face of the growing anti-nuclear power movement of the 1970s, an early victory. This has been Jack Cohen-Joppa for Nuclear Hot Seat, with another story from the Nuclear Resistor Archives to inspire your activism today.